So, you might have heard this phrase that people use. I'm a Christian, but I don't really go to church. I'm not in for that kind of organizational church thing. Perhaps they've had like a bad experience of church. Perhaps they went to a longer church, but it didn't quite fit their needs for what they wanted church to be. And before we kind of write that off as like not being a really great way to think about church and what it means to be a Christian and stuff, you can understand their thinking, can't you, a little bit? If being a Christian is about being in right relationship with God through Jesus, if it's about your relationship with God, then why do you need others? If you get teaching from YouTube, and then you've got some Christian friends and you come along to ES, and that's really great for hanging out with other Christians, then why do you need to go along to a church as well? Well, today, that's the question we're going to kind of consider, right? What's the point of the local church? Why gather? In essence, we're going to consider again about what's going on in the local church, why it gathers, and so why we need to be part of local churches. And so we're going to look at these two questions. We're going to look at why the church gathers, and then we'll consider what it gathers to do. Okay, so that's kind of the two things we're going to think out today. This is a big topic, and it may raise questions for you. If you've got questions, come and grab me in the courtyard over lunch. I'd love to talk to you, particularly about all the bits I had to cut out of this talk. Right, so the local church, we're at this point in your thing. So last week we considered the work that God is doing in gathering people to himself. God's gathered people together in Christ, the church. And we saw that God gathers people to himself through Christ. He saves people in Christ. And as Christ is in heaven, God's gathered people are gathered to him in heaven. The church primarily is a universal heavenly gathering. It's the heavenly church. But we get to partake in that heavenly church as we are spiritually united to Christ, who's present in heaven. And so those who are in Christ are in this heavenly gathering in him, and our earthly gatherings, our local churches, are earthly manifestations of this heavenly reality, kind of like the embassy of a country. We represent the thing fully, but we're kind of distinct there. But it still leaves this question. If we're gathered in heaven currently, why take the time to gather on earth? And I think the answer is connected with what it actually means to be human. You see, gathering together in community is a natural part of what it means to be human. Let me explain what I mean by that. God made humanity as relational. We're made in the image of God, the image of the triune God, three persons in perfect oneness, perfect relationship. And so to be human is to be relational. To be engaged in sort of a relational activity with others is what it means to be human. It's part of what it means to be human. Remember, there's a refrain that God says about Adam in Genesis 2, that it is not good for him to be alone. Humans are made for a relationship. And so that means that we will naturally, almost by instinct, gather into relationships, we'll gather into communities. You see that, don't you? Like the world, you live in the world, and communities just sort of spring up and form around people as they just naturally spend time together. Now, God made humanity not only for relationship with one another, but also with him. And though, like humanity has spurned God, we are gathered back into right relationship with God through Christ and his saving work on our behalf. And so as we're united back to God in Christ, we're not only united to Christ, but we therefore are united to one another, as we're all united to Christ. These are the relationships that we were made for. Right relationship with God, right relationship with each other. Christians are those united to Christ. And that means that they are also united to one another. Another way to put this is Paul does in Ephesians 1, is this: the church has been gathered to be the body of Christ. Christ's work is to build one corporate body, not a bunch of individual bits of body, one corporate body. And the local church is also a body of Christ. So our local churches are this manifestation, a true manifestation of the heavenly body of Christ. of the corporate body of Christ, the church. So Christians gather together simply because they belong together. You are part of one body. Christians are part of one body. They are a corporate body that belongs together. And so they express that corporate identity by gathering together. Their action flows out of their identity. We gather as the local church because we are the church. We are Christ's body, so we meet as a body. It's kind of like a family reunion. We gather because we're family. Our activity is a natural outworking of our identity. Now, I feel a little unsatisfying. It's just this natural thing that we do. But the point is that as humans, we are made for relationship with others. We naturally gather. And the community that you naturally gather around is formed around your identity. You are the body of Christ, and so you belong together. And you express that identity of being one body in Christ by gathering together. It's a natural impulse to be together. Let me show you what I mean. Have a look at these verses in Acts 2. This is after Peter has preached the gospel to a crowd. Many accept the message, repent and believe in Jesus. And then this happens. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then notice, so they become part of the body of Christ. They're gathered into the heavenly church. They're gathered into God's people, brought into the body of Christ. And then notice, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs by the apostles. And the believers were together and had everything in common. You see, immediately these people are saved, brought into relationship with God in Christ, they are made to be the body of Christ, and so they immediately start meeting together. They're not told to, they're not instructed to, they just simply start gathering together. Because those who are the body of Christ, as those who are the body of Christ, they naturally belong together, and so they meet together. People have been gathered together by God in Christ. And as that happens, their identity has changed. They're now part of the body of Christ. They are part of the church, this corporate body. And so we express this identity by being the corporate body of Christ, by gathering together in our local churches to be the body of Christ. We gather because we belong together. This is our corporate identity. That's why the local church gathers. The local church gathers as it is the body of Christ, a body that belongs together. We gather, therefore, to be the body of Christ. So we are the body of Christ. That's why it gathers. And so what do we do as we gather? What's the activity about? Well, we're trying to express that identity, to be the body of Christ. Oh, sorry, that cut off. The local church gathers to be the body of Christ. So in short, the local church gathers as this body of Christ. So its activity flows out of and expresses the identity, right? So you've got this identity as being a corporate body, and so your activity kind of flows out of that, right? And so as the local church gathers, it gathers as the body of Christ, and it expresses the fact that it's the body of Christ in these three ways. It's a testimony to Christ, a fellowship in Christ, and a body built into Christ. So we're going to just look at those three in turn. So firstly, a testimony to Christ. The local church gathering activity, as the church gathers as that activity, as an expression of its identity, it testifies to the work of Christ in the gospel. And the local church does this in two ways. Firstly, the gathering is simply a result of the gospel. And secondly, the gathering is a proclamation point for the gospel. Okay, so that's it testifies to Christ by being a result of the gospel and a proclamation point of the gospel. The local church gathering testifies to the work of Christ as it is a result of the gospel. from that Bible reading in Ephesians 2, you see that the heavenly church is this mixture of people, all saved by grace through Christ. God has brought all those who are far away, the Gentiles, those who were God's enemies, and he's brought them close in Christ. There used to be two different groups, two different people groups, but now there's only one, and that's done in Christ. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The work of Christ has brought these two groups of people together in him, into his body. And this is the same picture as that in Revelation. It's a multitude from all nations around the throne. A multitude of all nations around the throne, gathered around by God who's brought their salvation. And this heavenly gathering is a diverse picture of people. Every nation, tribe, people, language. But they have one thing in common. They have forgiveness, they're restored into right relationship with God, and they have unity in Christ. As the church is gathered in heaven, its very existence points to the work of God in the gospel. Ephesians 3 talks about it like this. It says that God's plan is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Do you see that? Through the church, this diverse group of saved people who've been gathered in Christ by God, that gathering of people displays to the heavenly realms the wisdom of God. Like artists who make some incredible piece of art out of like random bits of rubbish. I don't know if you go like at all these weird Facebook suggested videos. A lot of them had to do with like woodwork. I'm not very good at woodwork, but there you go. Something to aspire to. And there's all these people, amazing piece of art that kind of, they start with some piece of burnt wood or something, and they add, seems like everybody adds epoxy resin, whatever that is, and they make some incredible piece of art. It's the same kind of thing. In this diverse group of people from all bits and pieces, all brought together, in this group of people, these saved people, God is glorified. As his handiwork, this gathered church is on display to the heavenly realms. So the church, in its gathering activity, testifies to the work of Christ in the gospel. The church is the finished masterpiece of God's salvation work in Christ. So as it gathers, it testifies to the wise and glorious work of God. Second, the local church testifies to Christ as it proclaims the gospel. In that heavenly gathering that we saw in Revelation, the people gather around Jesus. They gather around the Lamb that was slain, otherwise known as the Word of God. And so too, our earthly gatherings gather around Christ. We meet around Christ, who though in heaven is present in our gatherings. Christ, the Word of God, is present in his Word, the Scriptures, by the Spirit. In the local church, Christ is present with us in his Word. He speaks to us. He rules over his church by his word. And that's always been God's means of dwelling with his people and ruling over his people. Last week we saw that was a constant pattern throughout the Old Testament. So it's super important to have the word of God central in our local church. It's the means by which Christ is present. It's the means by which he governs the church. This is why the focal point of your church gathering should be the word of God. And this word is a word about Christ. Wherever you look in the Bible, it's all about Jesus and it's all about the gospel. So the local gathering, as it meets and Christ is present in his word, there it testifies to the work of Christ as you hear the gospel preached and proclaimed and spoken about. The local church testifies to the work of Christ as we hear from God's word about Christ each week together. The local church testifies to the work of Christ. Its identity is bound in Christ, and so its activity testifies to him in their very gathering, in their proclamation of his word in their gathering. So it testifies to Christ. Second, Christ. Second, the local church is a fellowship in Christ. Fellowship just means like a community. Local church gathers to express the fellowship that people have in Christ. As we saw before in Ephesians 2, those in the church are not only united to Christ, but because of their union with Christ, they're united to each other as well. And so the gathering of this of the local church allows people to gather together to express that fellowship they have with one another. They get together to enjoy the relationship they have with one another, the fellowship, the relationship that they have in Christ. And as you look, as you read bits of the New Testament and you see pictures of what the church looks like, you see what that relationship looks like. There's a real depth to it. There's a care for one another, a love, a desire to see people grow and be cared for and that kind of thing. And this is a relationship that goes beyond like what people like or dislike or what similarities or common interests you have. This is a relationship that is based on who you are. It's your identity that links you. You are united, those united in Christ, so you are united to one another. It's like a family. So as you gather in church, you get to spend time with those who share your most fundamental identity as those who are saved members of the body of Christ. And this means that though the local church is this activity of gathering, that's kind of core to what it does. It does this activity of gathering. The local church is also a group of people. It can describe a group of people who are committed to gathering together. So the gathering and the people are connected, right? But it's those who are committed to one another in a way that seeks to express this fellowship, this deep fellowship that they have in Christ and so with one another, a deep love and devotion to one another, like a family. And this means that though this church is this gathering activity, it's not good to church hop and jump in to go one and one and another one and another one. We are a family. A family that never meets together is not a very close family. In the local church gathering, we express the fact that we are united together in Christ. We express this fellowship we have with Christ and with one another as we express the fact that we are this deeply connected family in Christ. That's a really great picture of what's going on in the local church, isn't it? And you might feel that when you go along to your local church on Sunday or whatever day your church meets, that it's not really that same kind of picture. You're not quite there yet. Well, the reality is that the local church is not ultimately what it should be. So we actually need to meet to be built up into Christ, to work towards what we should be. The local gathering is not yet what it will be. It yearns for its fulfillment in Christ. We await the consummation of that perfect heavenly gathering, that perfect church. And perhaps you really feel that frustration. You're really yearning for that perfect church to come. You feel a real frustration with things at your church. And can I say, as an aside, if that is you, if you do find yourself really frustrated with church at the moment, can I encourage you to speak with your pastors about the frustrations and problems you have? And do that in a gracious and loving way. But can I encourage you to talk to them? They love you. They would love to hear what you think and how you're going rather than having to guess and being surprised when it's all really hard. Be part of the solution to your frustrations. Can I encourage you to do that if that's you? The local church isn't there yet, right? There are frustrations. It's not quite what it should be. But God gathers us together so that we can build each other up in Christ. In Ephesians 4, Paul speaks about how Christ has gifted his church with people who will work to build up the church. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. The church gathers to build itself up in love. the whole body grows and builds itself up. It's a work of everybody within that local gathering. It does so, and the means by which it does it, the way it does it, is by speaking the truth in love. The truth, that is the gospel words that we speak to one another in our churches. And it's done in love. Another picture of that deep relationship and commitment to one another and to the good of one another. Our interactions as we gather at church are supposed to be about building other people up, building each other up as we speak the gospel to one another. And there's loads of ways that you can do this. When church finishes, stick around. Talk to people. Speak about the sermon that you just heard. Share something that struck you. Share something that you've learned from God's word with somebody. Seek to encourage you. Be active in trying to encourage the people around you to live for Jesus. And that might mean rebuking people in love when they don't live rightly as they should. And pray with one another. For God is the one who brings that growth. He is the one who is building his body. And note, as we grow in Christ likeness, as we are built up into this mature body, we will be a better body of Christ, won't we? A better expression of the thing we're meant to be. So as we finish up, well, I don't want to give any false hopes, like, as I've got a bit to go. Let's try and tie some threads together. There's a comedian who makes a joke and it's like, I'm actually just about a third of the way through now. That's not true. We're going to move to the last point. We're going to try and tie some threads together as we think about what it means to be part of the local church. So do you see what the local church is? It's this expression of the heavenly church. It's the body of Christ. It's who you are. You are a member of the body of Christ. And so it's proper, it's right for you to be part of a local church, to be together with the rest of the body because you belong together. Now, it's been a lot of information that we've kind of run over that last little bit, but it helped to put some things together. I'm going to consider this one question. How does a local church fit with ES? How does the local church fit with ES? Now, in the Bible, there are lots of other gatherings of Christians to do things other than church. They go on missionary journeys. They teach in public squares. They do a lot of social action, feeding widows, looking after people like that. But what about where we see things that look similar to the local church gathering? A gathering of Christians who meet around the Word of God to encourage each other. That's starting to sound a lot like ES. In essence, the question I want us to think about as we finish is, what is the difference between a church and a parachurch? A parachurch is just a Christian organization that is not a church but works alongside the church, right? How do you distinguish them, the church and the parachurch, local church and ES, especially when they look so similar in what they do, right? Now, I considered this issue when I was at Bible college and I tried to write an essay on it. And to be honest, I read back over it last week and I didn't get it. And so I've been thinking about it a lot since then. And so I'm going to have another go, if that's all right with you. And so let's try and work out this connection. So the first thing to say is that while there can be an overlap in activity, we can't define what something is or what something is not by what it does. That's actually a logical fallacy. Though identity flows out and shapes your activity, what you do, you can't actually then say that this activity comes back and determines your identity. It doesn't flow that way, right? So, for instance, fish swim in the sea. The identity of a fish means that its activity will mean that it swims in the sea. I swim in the sea. That's my activity, right? Therefore, I'm a fish, right? The conclusion. So I've made a comment about identity that flows into activity. I've made an observation about activity, and then I'm trying to make a comment back about identity, but it doesn't work like that. You can have different identities and do the same activity. Robots can do actions that humans can do, but they are not humans, right? Makes sense. And so you can't say that because ES does similar things to a church, it is a church. The identity, though the actions may seem similar, the identities are different. So the ES may have similar activities. They do not define it. Rather, the thing that differentiates ES from being a local church is its identity, whether or not ES identifies as a local church. Right? That's a bit unsatisfying. Is it ES is not a local church because we say we're not a local church? But the difference is based on the identity, right? The local church gathers because it is the body of Christ, and so it gathers to be the body of Christ. And that identity will work out in particular actions. But we are a group that gathers as Christians in partnership on a mission on campus. We seek to grow and train Christians and together reach the campus with the gospel. That's kind of why ES exists. That's its identities. We may be a body of believers, but that's incidental. It's not. We are not intentionally a body of Christ like a local church. Rather, we're made up of lots of different bits of the body of Christ. So what's the place of the parachurch? If it's not the local church, how do they relate together? Well, I think Ephesians 4 speaks to it well. ES, I think, is a part of the body that works to build up the body. The goal of ES is to see Christians grown and trained so that you'll be a blessing in your local church. And we reach out on the campus with the gospel to help people learn who Jesus is so that they might come to trust in him, be united to him, to be welcomed not only into ES, but ultimately into the church. Right? So ES is not the local church, because we are not a church. Though, we could redefine ourselves and call ourselves a church. We could self-identify as a body. We could make that decision. And so, we've made a change in our identity, made a comment about changing our identity. That's going to mean a difference in our activity. Lots of things will stay the same, but lots of things would change. We'd need to think seriously about the leadership of the group. We'd want to think about, actually, do we need to get people who don't go to UQ to come along to our gathering? Because that's a better expression of the gospel. There's lots of things that we would think about if we were to redefine ourselves. It's like you're a football team and you wanted to play ping pong instead. You can, right? You just need to change your activity. Though ES does lots of the same activities as a local church, we do not identify ourselves as a local church. So you need to go and join a local church if you're not part of one. Be part of the body of Christ that is present in the local church. So how do you go at choosing a good church? Well, there's no perfect church, so realize you won't find one. Every church has their problems, but there are some few things that hopefully you can see from what we've talked about today. Gather with those who are Christians. The local church is a gathering of those who testify to the work of Christ. Gather around the Word of God. How handling the Word of God matters. Find a good church where the Word is at the center. It won't be perfect. Maybe your pastor's not the best speaker, but is he seeking to be faithful as he preaches God's Word to God's people? And if you've got struggling, if you're struggling with that, some tips. Listen generously. Remember your pastor loves you. See if there are ways that you can help your pastor. I mean, do that appropriately and humbly. Maybe help them free up to have more time to prepare or go to some training course or something, and pray for your pastor. Is your church gathered around the Word? Does it express fellowship? Is it a church that loves one another, that allows for relationships? There are ways to get plugged in with people, small groups or things like that. It might not be perfect, but can you help and serve to get it there? And is it a church that seeks to build each other up? Are people growing in their faith? Are people seeking to serve one another? How can you help in that? And what do you do if you're struggling with your church? Well, first, assess yourself. Are your concerns valid? Why are you worried and frustrated? Second, speak with your pastor. And third, if you cannot resolve problems, I suggest talk with others, prayerfully consider leaving before you become a divisive problem in your church. It's okay to move on for a church, but you want to have a good reason. And it's much better to leave before you become a real source of disunity in your church. some thinking about church. So in conclusion, the people gathered by God in Christ gather. The people gather in the local church. The local church is this body of Christ, and it gathers to be the body and express this identity in what they do, testifying to the work of the gospel, expressing fellowship, and building each other up. So let me leave you with these words from the writer of Hebrews as he encourages us. From chapter 10, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Amen.